Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who is the King. Amen. Today's text is a rather interesting one because it really doesn't start at verse 27 of what I had read earlier. It doesn't begin at verse 1 of chapter 23. It doesn't even begin in chapter 22 with Monday, Thursday, or with the beginning of Holy Week. It doesn't even begin at verse 1, chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke. Our story this morning actually begins somewhere else. We're not getting the whole story this morning. And it's like dealing with two kids who have a problem. And I received lots of experience dealing with this while coaching 27 middle schoolers for soccer this fall. Some days having to do it by myself. And as you can rightfully imagine, with that many middle schoolers, with just one timid and unimposing adult, that boys will be boys and that things will happen behind my back. And they did. And as you can rightly imagine, that when these kids would come to me with a problem saying something like, "He hit me," or "She's teasing me," or "says I'm no good at soccer," that I was not getting the whole story. It would be after talking with the fighting kids and those around him who had witnessed the event that I could try to get a glimpse and understanding of the bigger picture and the whole story. This morning, we're going to get the whole story regarding the crucifixion of Christ. And as I said, our story really doesn't begin here. In fact, it begins elsewhere in a setting and place quite the opposite of Calvary and Golgotha. Instead of a crowd of people, we see a scene with just two people. Instead of taking place on a dusty, rocky, and bare hill with three stripped and lifeless trees, we see the real story beginning in a beautiful and lush garden full of trees and fruit and animals. Instead of the smell of stinky, sweaty men and the smell of blood, we have the smell of beautiful blooming flowers and trees. Our story really begins in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had been created and were enjoying paradise until that crafty serpent slithered their way. And this cunning serpent, the devil, begins a conversation with Eve and tries to suggest to her that she should eat of that forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He deceives her by telling her that if she touches this tree and eats of its fruit, that she will not die, but will in fact be just like God. And in a sense, it is a very enticing temptation. Who doesn't want to be like God? In a more relatable way, a similar temptation might be, wouldn't you like to be rich and famous like Bill Gates? Or wouldn't you like to be important and valued like the president or a world leader? Wouldn't you like to be athletic like a Minnesota Viking? And in a sense, it really is an enticing temptation. So Eve falls for it, and she takes the fruit and eats of it. And she enjoys it, and so she gives it to her husband, who also ate of the fruit. And as they eat, their eyes become open, and they realize their nakedness, their sin, and their shame. And they cover themselves. And when God begins to look for the two, they hide themselves from him. Their sin is evident before them, and so is their being separated from God. So God is calling them out. He's walking all over the garden looking for them. And they finally step forward, but rather fearfully. When God is trying to get the whole story of what had happened, he sees Adam blaming Eve and Eve blaming the serpent. God declares them all guilty and gives each one of them a curse for their sin. The Lord says the serpent will crawl on his belly and eat dust the rest of his life. He tells the woman that her pain will greatly increase with childbearing. He tells the man that his work will never be easy, for the ground will produce thorns and thistles, the curse of his sin. However, in his mercy, God promises them a Savior who will crush that head of the serpent, but who will in turn have his heel struck. So God clothes Adam and Eve, and he kicks them out of the garden. and places a cherubim with a flaming sword to bar the entrance back into paradise. This is Adam and Eve's part of the story. But we see another part of the story enter in, that of our own. As descendants of Adam and Eve, we inherit sin and we inherit its deadly effects. Our human nature is entirely corrupted by sin. We are born sinful and unclean and are full of evil lusts and inclinations. We begin our lives as God's enemies and on the wrong side of his wrath. We are born without true faith and fear in our Lord, and we cannot obtain that on our own. This hereditary sin, or original sin as we call it, damns and brings eternal death. There's nothing that we can do. This is our part of the story. But now we see Christ's part in this event. Jesus is the promised Savior, is the new Adam. He enters on the scene all bloodied, whipped, and humiliated. He is led out of the city, carrying his cross, an instrument of death. He has a sentence of condemnation, although he did nothing wrong. He is completely innocent. And as he stumbles and struggles to carry this cross, it is placed on another man, Simon of Cyrene, who helps Jesus take this to his place of execution. And when they reach this place, Jesus is stripped and naked, just like Adam realized when he had ate of that forbidden fruit. His arms and feet are stretched out, and he's nailed to this lifeless tree, the cross, and he is lifted up high. He prays for those who are doing it, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." He's then placed between two criminals, showing he's considered to be no different than they are. They label him a king above his head, but they do not treat him as such. He wears a crown, but it is a rather ugly one. It is one made of crowns and thorns, the curse of Adam, and he is hung on a tree, an act that the Old Testament considers cursed. They say you should never kick a man when he is down, but his opponents and enemies disregard that rule. They are ruthless and cruel in their mocking and taunting of Jesus on the cross. But now, a twist to the story takes place. As one of the criminals blasphemes Jesus, the other rebukes him, for he truly sees who is on the cross next to him. And it's the Lord beneath the man who is bloodied, beaten, and writhing in pain and agony. He sees the Lord of the universe, the one who welcomes sinners to himself, the one who is bearing the sin of humanity. This thief asks Jesus to remember him in his kingdom, and he receives this chilling response. He says, "Yes, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise, for it is here that Jesus pays for the sin of Adam and for all humanity." He tells the cherubim to put the sword away, for paradise is reopened through my death. And he then dies a few hours later. But the story is not done yet, for Jesus rises 3 days later, victoriously from the grave, showing he is righteous and that we are truly made right with God. For here is where we enter back into the story. For through faith and in our baptism, we are joined together with Christ in his death, in his crucifixion, in his burial, and in his resurrection. He has taken on our sin and its shame, and he has given us his forgiveness and righteousness. It is our own. We call this the great or happy exchange. We have been made right with our Heavenly Father and are no longer on the wrong side of his wrath. Christ's death for us has removed the curse of sin and the law's condemnation against us. Our old sinful nature has been crucified with him, and it has lost its destructive power and control over us. We have been raised with him to walk in a newness of life and to enjoy a life free from sin's rule and power. We have paradise, heaven open for us through Christ's death and resurrection for you and for me. We are no longer separated from our Heavenly Father. We do not have to hide like Adam and Eve, for He is with us. And with this, Paul Harvey would say, and now you know the rest of the story. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who is our King. Amen.